KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, in our first Forum half hour, we focus on a baby born in rural Mississippi cured of HIV infection. That's the first time ever that has occurred. And UN estimates from 2011 reveal that some 330,000 newborns were infected from HIV. Then at 9:30, we shift to a conversation with San Francisco Republican Party Chair Harmeet Dillon, who made history over the weekend by becoming the first woman ever to be elected vice chair of the state GOP. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Scientists say a two-year-old Mississippi girl who was born with HIV has been cured of the infection. And if the findings are confirmed, AIDS specialists say the case is a game changer in the search for a cure. She's the first child and only the second person to have been cured of HIV. And while the adult was cured with a bone marrow transplant, the baby was treated with drugs early and aggressively. And researchers say the case may change the way they treat HIV-infected people. Joining us for this first half hour to talk about, well, this big news story is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health and joins us this morning from the nation's capital. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here with you.
Glad to have you. Also have Dr. Art Ammon with us here in studio, founder of Global Strategies for HIV Prevention and clinical professor of pediatrics at UC San Francisco. Art Ammon, good to have you back on Forum. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. Well, it's a big story. And actually, Dr. Fauci, I guess just yesterday in Atlanta, I wanted to get your take on this. There was a presentation on these findings, but there's been some question as to whether we have definitive evidence of actual infection. What do we know at this point?
Well, according to the report of how the investigators went about looking for infection, the measurements they did at the time that they were doing the study, I mean, this was a very unique situation. I think people need to understand that, in that the mother came in to the clinic pregnant without any treatment, no prenatal care, delivered a baby. And under those circumstances, the risk of infection on the baby is extremely high. Most of the time, when there is adequate medical care, a person would come in who's pregnant, will have been on treatment. The best way to prevent transmission to the baby is to treat the mother for her infection. And then a protocol that generally is used that even make extra specially sure that the baby isn't infected is to then do what we call prophylaxis to the baby, namely give the baby less than the full triple drug therapy for treatment, but try and prevent the infection in the baby. And then if the baby turns out to be infected, even though you go through all of that precaution, to then treat the baby with triple drugs. In this case, they judged that the baby was such a high risk of being infected that instead of doing the prophylactic regimen, the prevention regimen, they actually assumed the baby was infected and treated the baby as if they were infected. That has led to a situation where the baby, while it was on therapy, then they did some measurements in the baby and found that they were able to detect virus at a level and with a curve of decay that strongly suggests that it was the baby that was infected. And given that being the case, they made the right call, which was a gutsy call, was to go in and treat aggressively right from the beginning within the first 30 hours of birth and hence 30 hours of infection.
So this was definitely not a case of prevention, because I know
no.
That's already been done with mothers infected. I mean,
well, yes, because the best way, and we hope we get into this in the discussion later with Art and with all of us, is that the most important thing to do is to try and prevent infection in the baby. If the baby's infected, the baby obviously needs to be treated. But what these investigators did was to assume that the baby was going to be infected and treated the baby as if the baby was infected. And then only after that get the information that indicated that the baby was infected. The reason why that was important is because when you're thinking about infection, once the virus starts replicating after a period of time, weeks and months, et cetera, it establishes what we call a reservoir of virus in the person, be that an infant who's just born and got infected at birth, or even an adult. Once that reservoir is established, it is extremely difficult to eradicate that with the currently available therapeutic regimens that we generally use. And that's the reason why it's been so difficult, if not impossible, with the current drugs that we have to eradicate the virus in an adult who's been infected and the virus has been replicating for anywhere from several weeks to months to even years. It becomes extremely difficult to eradicate that reservoir. What is felt to have happened with this baby was that the treatment, which was an aggressive three-drug treatment, literally within hours of infection, essentially did not allow the virus to form a substantial enough reservoir that could not be essentially completely eliminated, if not very well controlled.
Let me go to Dr. Ammon on this, though, because there's one hypothesis, Art Ammon, Stephen Deeks says perhaps it wasn't a real cure because the drugs could have actually killed the virus before it established this hidden reservoir in the baby, or, for that matter, before it could destroy the immune system.
Well, yeah. First, I'm delighted to be on this program with Tony Fauci. Tony's been a leader in moving forward on HIV/AIDS and moving towards a cure, as well as moving treatment into worldwide. So, Tony, thanks for your help on the NIH side. It's key. But
and understand, I don't want to sound like a naysayer here. I'm just throwing this out because there has been concern about if this is actually the case of what we're saying. This is extraordinary, major news.
Yeah, and I would agree. But there's another side to this. I mean, basically what it's confirming to me, and I think it's real. The reason I think it's real is because what we're seeing now with advanced treatment and combination antiretroviral drugs in the general population is we're seeing control of infection. We're turning this disease into a chronic manageable disease worldwide. The exciting results that came out of an NIH study on PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis, showing that you can decrease HIV transmission. All of this points out to early, more aggressive treatment, and this is what this baby is about. Now, is it a one-on case? We don't know. So it does need confirmation, but it does result in our really going forward with the discussion about treating early. You know, it's interesting. 18 years ago, David Ho, Time Man of the Year, came out with the New England Journal of Medicine and said, hit it hard, hit it early. A lot of naysayers. We now, 18 years later, you know, have the data saying that this is what we should be doing. The U.S. Public Health Service in March came out and said we should treat all HIV-infected individuals. The International AIDS Society, tens of thousands of doctors and experts, treat all HIV infections. We had a campaign with a button saying treat all. And this is what we need to do. As Tony says, if we treat early, we hit it hard, we can stop transmission. We might not have any infected infants. So I think regardless of the situation of this case, yes, confirm, move on it. But what it tells us, if it is correct, is that the earlier we treat, the harder we hit the virus, the more likely we are to control. This is a virus that in a 24-hour period is producing a billion virus progeny that is disseminating throughout all the body.
I think the article you referenced in the New England Journal of Medicine was 1995. It was all about babies clearing the virus without treatment, but their immune systems are different. I mean, if this is going to get a lot more funding in terms of research for a cure, it's not necessarily going to help adults, is it?
I think that's the important point, that there seems to be maybe some confusion in some parts because of the extraordinary amount of publicity that this case has gotten. And I think Art said it well, and I said that in my opening first comment that I meant to you, is that one of the reasons why this does not likely have direct applicability to the cure of adults, what it fortifies is what Art is saying, that the earlier you treat, the better. You treat somebody, you get their viral load down, it's good for them, and they don't transmit the virus. But we're talking in this individual, unusual case about a cure. And the reason why it isn't directly applicable to the cure of an adult is for the very reason we both said, is that the typical adult is infected, doesn't know they're infected for a reasonably long period of time. I mean, sometimes people get the acute syndrome or see a physician after several weeks, which already the virus has replicated very, very robustly, and sometimes even months or years, to truly cure that person. And by cure, you mean you withdraw therapy and the virus goes nowhere. It's either gone, which is very, very difficult because the virus has a way of hiding in nooks and crannies in the body, or it's just so well controlled by the body's own immune system that they don't need therapy. That's a cure. That's what they were talking about with this baby.
Well, now, this baby is now 2.5 years old and off drugs for a year and
no sign of a functioning virus, right? Right. So you could say the baby was cured, but the baby was in a very, very unique situation for HIV treatment. The baby was treated within hours of getting infected. You don't see that in the general way the millions and millions of people throughout the world who've been infected have gotten any access to drugs. Many have not ever gotten access, but even the ones that have don't usually get the access to the drug until the virus has been firmly established. So we got to make sure we distinguish between the unique, very unusual situation of a single baby being treated within hours of infection and the bigger problem of preventing infections in children by treating the mothers who are pregnant or who will be pregnant, who are HIV infected, not only for their own health, but to not allow them to transmit the virus to their baby. That's the critical global health issue.
Well, this could lead to a new protocol for testing and treating infants, but Art Ammon, in the U.S., transmissions from mother are rare. What, about a couple hundred at the most in terms of
a couple hundred. Yeah, Dr. Fauci talked here in San Francisco a number of months ago, pointed out, I think, Tony, you said that in Washington, D.C., there hasn't been a new infection in the baby for 8 years. In San Francisco, there hasn't been a new infection for 6 years. So we have the preventative therapy, which I think brings up the next issue. I mean, the strength of this one case is that it takes the discussion further. The media attention is talking about a cure. Maybe it is not applicable to adults. But if we really want to prevent HIV infection, it's estimated that in the U.S. there's 300,000 people that don't know they're HIV infected. So that's men and women. And so they're transmitting the virus.
But you're the global AIDS guy. You've got 3 million children globally who are living with HIV.
Exactly. And there's 10 million people globally who don't know they're infected. So we've got to get this treatment because it's life-changing. If people are on treatment, it will prevent the disease from progressing. If they know they're infected, they can educate their sexual partners about how not to get infected and protect them. So one big step, and when Tony was here, I asked Tony his opinion. I think it's time to do contact tracing. I mean, we can't have 300,000 people in the U.S. who could benefit from treatment, women who wouldn't transmit the virus, men who wouldn't transmit the virus, 10 million people worldwide. There's a lot of controversy, or there was a lot of controversy about contact tracing, but this case, I think, tells us that we have treatment. We've got 30 drugs and combination of drugs. They're powerful.
Art, can you explain contact tracing for us?
Yeah, contact tracing is historically a public health approach to infectious diseases, and it's been done for almost every infectious disease, especially sexually transmitted, syphilis, gonorrhea. And the reason it didn't occur in the early days of the AIDS epidemic is because there's a lot of stigma with HIV. I mean, basically, because of its association with homosexuality, there was stigma against anybody who was HIV infected. So contact tracing says if a person is infected, let's find out who else might be exposed or who might be infected. And now we're at, I think, at an ethical, moral point where we've got to say we've got life-saving treatment. Like in this baby, you know, there are things that can be done that can save a person's life by knowing whether they're exposed to HIV and if they are infected, getting on these very powerful drugs that will keep them alive for decades and keep them healthy.
I want to bring our listeners into this, and let me do that. This is a half-hour segment, so if you'd like to have a question answered or if you have a comment or contribution to make to this conversation, the time to call would be now, or to email us. You can call us at our toll-free number, which is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your call, so please feel free to join the program. Again, it's toll-free, 866-733-6786. If you prefer, you can just email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment, or go to our Facebook page, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. A number of ways that you can make your voice heard and join our conversation and bring up your questions or comments. Talking with Dr. Art Ammon, who is founder of Global Strategies for HIV Prevention and clinical professor of pediatrics at the University of California, San Francisco, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases with NIH. He's with us from Bethesda. And did you want to respond, Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, but Mike, I want to get back to the point that you had mentioned when Art was speaking. So there are 2 to 3 million people, children, who were infected at birth, among the 34 million people who are living with HIV. So the question people ask normally, well, you've cured one baby. Does this mean now you can cure all of those children who are infected? And the answer is, I don't think that what happened with that baby is applicable to the children who are already infected. Because the very unique thing, as I keep getting back to with the baby, is that that baby was treated within hours of being infected. The children who got infected but didn't get therapy until later on already have established infection. They should be treated to save their lives and to get them to lead as best as possible a normal, healthy life. So they should have access to treatment. It's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, given the current medications that we have, to cure them. And again, by curing, we mean they can get along without medications, because they didn't have the advantage that the child in Mississippi had of essentially being treated within hours of infection. They are infected. They need to be treated. But the idea of curing them when their virus has already been replicating in them for sometimes weeks to months to years is an entirely different situation than what happened in Mississippi. So that's why there's the sometimes that misperception and confusion. Well, you cured one baby, so now we're going to look at all of the babies that are infected, and we're going to cure them. That's not what we're talking about. The real goal right now, as Art has said and I say, is to try and prevent the babies from getting infected in the first place. And you best do that by treating the mother who's infected and then making sure she does not transmit the virus to their newborn infant during the period of time of birth.
All right. I want to take this opportunity to bring our callers and listeners into the discussion. And we begin, Anna, with you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
I was wondering if there is potential for this treatment, if it turns out to be indeed effective, to also be used in the case of rape victims, if it happens immediately following a crime.
Dr. Ammon?
Yeah, I mean, that's a critical question. I don't think we're doing enough on the prevention side, and so thank you for asking that question. We do have what's called post-exposure prophylaxis kits, and we're not able to follow a lot of the women who get raped and men who get raped as carefully as this baby was followed. But if you give a combination of antiretroviral drugs, you can prevent a woman from becoming HIV infected. The problem is, again, here's a preventative strategy. Tony and I keep emphasizing the same thing. You know, we have in our hands these strategies, and they're not as widely used as they should be. We work in Democratic Republic of Congo, Eastern Congo, where violence against women is just rampant. We have in 1 year in South Kivu 20,000 women that get raped. We are, in our small organization, only able to provide about 2,000 post-exposure prophylaxis kits to the women. If you get it there in 72 hours, strong combination of drugs, you can completely prevent HIV infection of these women. So, yes, it does apply to other circumstances where you are preventing infection. I think Tony's point points are important in terms of to differentiate if a person who's already infected. That's really a different story, and that's why prevention is so important because you're talking about lifelong treatment, and this is an unusual case. We may see more of these cases if we're more aggressive in treatment in the newborn.
I've got to ask you, I want to get to more calls, and Anna, thank you for your call, but is it unusual in the sense that the Timothy Brown cure was unusual in Berlin back with a bone marrow transplant from a donor who was genetically resistant to HIV infection? That much of an anomaly or kind of outlier case?
Tony, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, the Timothy Brown case is an entirely different situation, because that was something that is not something that is feasible as a scaling up way to cure. I mean, it was a very special situation. The man developed a neoplastic disease, required a stem cell transplant from an individual who had a particular genetic defect that would not allow the virus to replicate. That was transplanted into the so-called Berlin patient. And then the individual did not have virus that was able to be isolated from him and didn't require to have antiretroviral therapy. But the patient does require to have the medications to prevent the rejection of the stem cell transplant. So that's not something that you're going to give massive immunosuppressive therapy, find an appropriate transplant donor for the stem cells that has a defect that doesn't allow the virus to replicate, and keep the person on lifelong medication for another reason, namely the transplant. That's just not a feasible thing to do on the large scale. So they're entirely different situations, the baby situation that we're talking about now and the Berlin patient. They're
I didn't mean to make
different.
It seem like they were parallel.
No.
I just wondered if they were both really anomalous.
Oh, they're proofs of concept. So the Berlin patient proved that if you have a host in which the virus doesn't replicate, a person who's infected, but in which the virus can't replicate because you've essentially exchanged or changed and modified that person's immune system so it isn't vulnerable to the virus. That's a proof of concept that you can actually have a situation where the virus had infected a person but no longer can replicate. So that's one proof of concept. The proof of concept with the baby was that if you treat early enough, in this case within hours of infection, you can actually cure someone with the standard drugs that are available now.
Let me bring another caller on. And from Providence, Rhode Island, we bring Marie. Hi.
Hi. I am wondering whether the Berlin patient or this baby or the new research on epigenetics is opening any new windows into potential vaccines or gene therapy type vaccines.
Yeah, we'll go to Dr. Ammon.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent question, and that's always the hope with these unusual cases. Tony and I go back to the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, and in 1981, we described the first child with AIDS, the first blood transfusion AIDS case. There were a lot of naysayers, you know, and that was when there was a handful of patients with AIDS. Michael Gottlieb had described it in adults, and we see what's happened scientifically. So these are provocative cases that we have to take seriously, look at them carefully, and that will be done. I'm sure NIH is going to continue to support some of these research studies. They've supported this. But what does it mean? And Tony, you know, your opinion, I think, here, is it just the drugs that did it, or is there something unusual, as Mike McCune feels, about the infant immune system in combination with the drugs that allowed this to happen?
I agree with the latter, Art. I think it's a combination of both.
I think it's a combination
of the drugs, and I think Mike might be onto something there, that there are things about the infant's immune system in the context of HIV infection that we need to learn a lot more about.
We've got seconds left here. I wonder, let me just go back to Art Emmon on this. National guidelines are to test babies at 2 weeks. It's different in San Francisco. Should the protocols be changed at birth here?
I think they need to be changed. We've got to get the babies on earlier treatment, whether we're going for a cure or just control of it. But the earlier you treat, that's the data. I mean, it's overwhelming. The earlier you treat, the more likely you are to control the infection in the long run.
Yeah, San Francisco, they do treat at birth. A lot of other questions here. I don't know if we have time here. Maybe a quick answer from you. How will treatment change, and how quickly can we expect to see these changes take effect in treatment of HIV?
Well, we've got to change it more quickly. I mean, at the International AIDS Society meeting in August, we had a campaign along with activists and advocates to get these national the national guidelines have changed, but WHO has got to change their guidelines. The benefits of treatment, early treatment, are just overwhelming in terms of controlling the epidemic, cutting down the cost, the economic cost. So we've got to move that agenda forward. We can't drag our feet in an epidemic that continues to affect, 2 to 3 million people a year.
Well, we will continue to cover this and follow it, and thank you so much, Dr. Art Ammon.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Founder of Global Strategies for HIV Prevention and clinical professor of pediatrics at UCSF. And thank you so much, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH. And thank you, our listeners. We have another half-hour segment. We're going to shift gears considerably and talk to the new vice chair of the Republican Party, a woman, a Sikh, and a former lawyer for the ACLU, when we return on Forum.